want us to look at these opening words of the book of Hebrews again this month as we observe the Lord's Supper. Hebrews chapter 1. We'll be looking at the first three verses of this book. And let's pause once again to ask the Lord Jesus to exercise his prophetic ministry in our midst. Father, Son, Holy Spirit, we do turn to you. Father, we give you thanks for this word that you have caused to be written and to be preserved for us. And Holy Spirit, we thank you that you did carry along men and enabled them to write down exactly what you wanted recorded and preserved for us. We know that these words are true, that God cannot lie, that it's impossible for you to lie. And so we come to this word in faith, believing that it is true and it is exactly what we need to hear today. And Lord Jesus, we do pray that you would come and exercise your prophetic ministry, that you would represent to us by your word and spirit the will of God for our salvation. Do that for your glory and for our good. We pray in your name, that strong name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. I've mentioned this before, but there's a very profound book written by Francis Schaeffer entitled He Is There and He Is Not Silent. I've never read the book. I've tried, but as I said, it's a very profound book. But I've never had to read it because the title says everything that I need to know. He is there and he is not silent. There really is a God. He is there. He made us. He is the source of all life and all that is good, and he longs for us to know him. And so he speaks. He is there, and he is not silent. Hebrews chapter 1. Long ago, at many times and in many ways, God spoke to our fathers by the prophets. But in these last days, he has spoken to us by his Son, whom he appointed the heir of all things, through whom also he created the world. He is the radiance of the glory of God and the exact imprint of his nature, and he upholds the universe by the word of his power. The one referred to in these opening verses, referred to as God's Son, will later be identified in the book as the man Jesus. The name Jesus does not appear until chapter 2 and verse 9. Where the writer says, "But we see him who for a little while was made lower than the angels, namely Jesus, crowned with glory and honor because of the suffering of death, so that by the grace of God he might taste death for everyone." And then the writer exhorts us, urges us, invites us to think about this Jesus. Chapter 3, verse 1. "Therefore, holy brothers, you who share in a heavenly calling, consider Jesus, the apostle and high priest of our confession." And then the author clearly identifies the Son of God with Jesus in chapter 4 and verse 14. "Since then, we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God. Let us hold fast our confession." Let's begin this morning just with the question, why Jesus? What's so special about this one man? With so many other great men and women of history who have spoken some very profound things, what is it about Jesus? What has he got to say that sets him apart even from the holy prophets of old that we find all through the Old Testament? Jesus is just one. Jesus reduces the many down to the one. Long ago, at many times and in many ways, God spoke to our fathers by the prophets, but in these last days, he has spoken to us by or in his Son. Many prophets, living at different times, all speaking so many different things, they all spoke on behalf of God, but what they said just came in bits and pieces. For them, it was like holding some of the pieces of a jigsaw puzzle. You open the box, there's some pieces, looks like some pieces are missing. You start to put it together, you don't have everything that you need. You've got pieces of the puzzle, but you don't have everything. You've just got bits and pieces. And these prophets in the Old Testament could see something here and there, but they never had all the pieces, and they could never see the whole picture. Jesus is not just one more piece of the puzzle. He is the complete picture, the full picture of who God is. All the pieces come together in this one man, Jesus. Jesus has a personal relationship with God. He's not just another prophet that is serving God. He's God's Son. And you can hire somebody or you can appoint somebody and send somebody to represent you. We see something of that in Hebrews chapter 3, verse 5. The author says, "Now Moses was faithful in all God's house as a servant to testify to the things that were to be spoken later." And Moses is a great character from the Old Testament. You know, here is the ultimate prophet, the one who is representing God to the people on the mountain, giving God's law. Moses was faithful in all of God's house as a servant to testify to the things that were to be spoken later. But Christ is faithful over God's house as a son. Jesus is not just a servant. He is not just another prophet or another servant. He's related to God in the most intimate way. This is God's Son. And then Jesus is all that God is. We read the words earlier from the Gospel of John where Jesus said, "I and the Father are one." There's no ambiguity in there. The Jews there got what he was saying. "You're blaspheming." And they started to pick up stones. You know, why are you going to stone me? You know, for what good work? And they said, "It's not for a good work that you did. It's because you're making yourself out to be God." They clearly got the point of what Jesus was saying. I and the Father are one. Jesus is all that God is. Who better to tell us about God than God? Who better to show us what God is like than God himself? And so the writer tries to unfold this for us in these opening verses of the book of Hebrews. Verse 3, he says, "He is the radiance of the glory of God. He is the bright beam of light that shines out from the Father." You think of the sun, the one in the sky, S-U-N, the sun. If it were not for its light radiating out to us, we could never see it. Andrew Murray, in his wonderful devotional book on the book of Hebrews, says, "As we only know the Son by the light that shines from it, so is Christ the outshining, the revelation of God's glory." Paul says something similar, 2 Corinthians 4, verse 6, "For God, who said, 'Let light shine out of darkness,' has shown in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ." The outshining of God's glory, the radiance of God's glory. Again, in verse 3, "He is the radiance of the glory of God and the exact imprint of his nature." He is the exact representation of God's being. New Living Translation says, "Everything about Jesus represents God exactly." J.B. Phillips's paraphrase, he puts it like this: "Jesus is the flawless expression of the nature of God." You see Jesus, you are seeing what God is really like. When you are hearing Jesus, you are hearing what God has to say. Who better to tell us about God and God's will for us than God himself? Jesus knows God best and can best speak on behalf of God. At the same time, since he's God, Jesus knows us best. We've all had to listen to people who talk over our heads. They really know their subject, but I have no idea what they're saying. They fail to communicate. But Jesus, the Son of God, knows us like no other. He knows his audience. Verse 2. "But in these last days, God has spoken to us by his Son, whom he appointed the heir of all things, through whom also he created the world." Jesus is the agent through whom you and I and all things were created. I mean, he obviously knows us. He made us. He's the agent through whom God created you and me and everything else that exists. And then he says that Jesus is the heir of all things. It's for him. The very purpose that you live and breathe and have an existence is because you've been created for Jesus. And so he knows our purpose like no one else. And then Jesus is the one who even now upholds and keeps us going. Verse 3, "He is the radiance of the glory of God, the exact representation of God, the exact imprint of his nature, and he upholds the universe by the word of his power." He knows us like no other. He understands us, how we're put together, how we are wired, why we act the way that we do, where we came from, what experiences we had growing up, our experiences in life, where we're going. No one could know us better. And no one could know God better. And so Jesus knows best how to speak to us and reveal God to us. Now, how does God speak to us in Jesus? I mean, how does this work? He is there. He is not silent. He is now speaking to us in his own Son. How does he do this? Well, we have to go back in time to when there was no time. When none of us existed. In the beginning was the Word. Something that is spoken. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. God has always been speaking. And then we come to the Old Testament, and Peter gives us a good understanding of what was going on in those many prophets in the Old Testament. So if we look at 1 Peter 1 for just a moment, verses 10 and 11, Peter says, concerning this salvation, and you say, what salvation? Well, it's back in verse 3, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, according to his great mercy, he has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. A living hope, being alive spiritually. So in verse 10, he says, concerning this salvation, the prophets who prophesied about the grace that was to be yours searched and inquired carefully, inquiring what person or time the Spirit of Christ in them was indicating when he predicted the sufferings of Christ and the subsequent glories. You understand what he's saying? These prophets had the spirit of, we would call him Jesus Christ, and Jesus Christ was in those Old Testament prophets speaking to them about the sufferings of Jesus and the glories that would come. It's Jesus exercising a prophetic ministry in the Old Testament. And then we come to the incarnation itself. To Jesus' earthly life. I think this is the easiest part to understand because we have four Gospels that are just filled with this revelation of what Jesus Christ is doing as a prophet. That word that was in the beginning, that was with God, and the word that was God, that word became flesh and it dwelt among us. I mean, God is really serious about communicating in that he sends his word in human flesh. That eternal word that God has always been speaking becomes a human being. And in that perfect human being, we see and hear God and God's will for our salvation. We hear it in his words. I am the bread of life. I am the light of the world. I am the door. I am the good shepherd. I came that you may have life and have it abundantly. Don't you hear something of God's heart, the Father's heart, in those words of Jesus? We see it in his wonders, opening the eyes of a man born blind, walking on the water. Don't we learn something there about God's power through Jesus? We see it again in his works, touching lepers, embracing children, defending women, feeding the hungry, forgiving sinners. Don't we learn something about God's mercy and love and forgiveness for us? But it doesn't stop with his earthly life and ministry. Jesus is still our prophet today and still exercising this prophetic ministry in the church. Acts chapter 1, verse 1, an advertisement. We're studying the book of Acts. We've just begun a study in the book of Acts on Sunday nights. You're certainly welcome to come. The first verse, in the first book, O Theophilus, I have dealt with all that Jesus began to do and teach. The first book is the Gospel of Luke, and that's where Luke records what Jesus began to do and teach. The implication here is that when you open your Bibles to the book of Acts, it's what Jesus continues to do and teach. Jesus continues to exercise a prophetic ministry in the life of the church, and we can see that all the way through certainly the book of Acts and church history. Ephesians 2, Paul says, the church is built upon the teaching of the apostles and prophets, with Christ Jesus himself being the cornerstone. His prophetic ministry is what supports and informs the ministry of the apostles and New Testament prophets. That teaching is put into written form. We call that scripture, 2 Peter 1:21. Men spoke from God as they were carried along by the Holy Spirit. The scriptures are then taken up by men who are called to preach the word. 1 Thessalonians 2:13, when you received the word of God, which you heard from us, you accepted it not as the word of men, but as it really is, the word of God. The word that you heard being preached is as it really is, the word of God, not just the word of man. And then this same word becomes a living thing inside of you. Colossians 3:16, let the word of Christ dwell richly within you. Hebrews 4:12, the word of God is living and active. You begin to get the sense that even in Scripture there's this fluidity of, are we talking about Scripture? Are we talking about a word that is spoken? Or are we talking about that eternal word that God has always spoken through eternity? Which is it? And the answer is, yes, all of them. In some way, yes, we can draw distinctions between some of this, but at the end of the day, what we are talking about is God speaking, expressing himself, communicating something about himself through his own Son, Jesus Christ. The eternal word that God has always been speaking, that word that is God, now dwells in you. In this sense, the word is not just a message about salvation. The word is your salvation. Colossians 3:3, Christ who is your life. Galatians 2:20, it is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. Our new life is the risen Christ. It is the resurrected Jesus, the Word of God. Living, active, dwelling within us and speaking to us. Now, one last question this morning, and again borrowing from Francis Schaeffer, how should we then live? Long ago, at many times and in many ways, God spoke to our fathers by the prophets, but in these last days he has spoken to us by his Son, whom he appointed the heir of all things, through whom also he created the world. He is the radiance of the glory of God and the exact imprint of his nature, and upholds the universe by the word of his power. How should we then live? What should we do? Briefly, just four thoughts. First of all, put yourself in the place where you can experience the presence of the Son of God, Jesus. Put yourself. Something you've got to do. Put yourself in the place where you will experience the presence of Jesus. Be where Jesus is. Where he says he's going to be. Where he promises to meet with you. What did Jesus say? Where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I with them. It's going to be where Jesus is in this very special sense. He's always with us, but in this special sense that he identifies as where people gather together, a congregation, where they congregate, two or three, in the name of Jesus. Jesus promises to exercise his prophetic ministry. As a congregation, we gather today to participate in the sacrament of the Lord's Supper. The sacrament itself is a vital aspect of the prophetic ministry of Jesus Christ. It is here at this table that we hear Jesus say, "This is my body, which is given for you." Jesus, our prophet, is revealing to us at this table the will of God for our salvation. So put yourself in the place where you can experience the presence of Jesus. Secondly, put yourself in the place where you can hear Jesus. In front of an open Bible is what it means. Put yourself there, or hearing the word of God as it's preached. You have to put yourself where Jesus is speaking through Scripture, where Jesus is speaking through the preached word. The Spirit of God makes the reading, but especially the preaching of the word, an effectual means of grace. Thirdly, put yourself in the place where you converse with Jesus. That place is on your knees. It's the place of prayer. It's where you converse with Jesus. Created in the image of God, people converse. We engage one another in conversation. We are here, and we are not silent because we're created in the image of God, and so we speak. We converse with one another. And it's in conversation that we draw others into our world, and we step into their world. The God who created us is a God of conversation. In the beginning was the what? Word. God has always been speaking before any of us were born or created. Before anyone was created, God is speaking and conversing within the Trinity. The God who created us is a God of conversation. Not only is he there and not silent, but he's actively listening to us when we converse with him, when we talk to him in our prayers. And it's in this conversation with God, when we pray through our prayers, that God draws us into his world and he steps into ours. That's what takes place in a conversation. And so Jesus invites us to pray. He teaches us to pray. He teaches us what to say in our prayers, knowing that in conversation with God, you and I will experience that prophetic ministry of Jesus as he reveals to us the will of God for our salvation. And then fourth and last, put yourself in the place where you enjoy friendship and fellowship with Jesus. By faith, every day, you have to realize that you are, not just see yourself, make up something in your mind, realize by faith that you really are walking through life with Jesus Christ at your side. It's going to affect your behavior. The prophetic ministry of Jesus. Colossians 2, 6 and 7. As you received Christ Jesus the Lord, and how did you receive him? By faith. As you received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in him. Rooted and built up in him and established in the faith, just as you were taught, there's the prophetic ministry, you've been taught to do this, abounding in thanksgiving. He is there. And he is not silent. He has spoken to us in his Son. Let's pray. Father, our purpose in coming together today is to worship you and to praise you and to thank you for what you have done for us in your Son, Jesus Christ. We recognize that part of that praise and worship and gratitude that we express comes from knowing more and knowing better what you have done for us in Jesus Christ. And so we thank you for this prophetic ministry, that you are a God who longs to converse with your people. We thank you for expressing yourself, speaking to us through your Son. Help us here in this place as we finish this service, but certainly as we leave this place and walk through life, to do so listening, waiting, conscious that the Lord Jesus Christ, our prophet, is with us. And we pray this in his name. Amen.